Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday of Holy Week. I'm Andy Stoddard, lead pastor here at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church, and I'm glad to be walking with you this week through Holy Week. Today is Holy Tuesday, and of all the days of Holy Week, Tuesday and to some extent Wednesday kind of get, I don't say forgotten, but kind of get lost in the shuffle, if you will. Not as many big things happen on these days. Really more teaching. Tomorrow is preparation for the cross with Judas. And today is a lot of teaching in what we're going to talk about today. A lot of condemnation of the Pharisees. Today we're going to look at, I don't want to call it one of my favorite sections of the Bible because it's Jesus being very harsh, but one of the more really interesting parts of Jesus' teaching. It's sometimes called the seven woes. If you can picture the temple, the way the Jewish temple was built is there this wall you've seen in popular culture and in the news, the Wailing Wall, the part of the wall of the temple that remains. And that's part of the temple wall that goes back to Herod's day. If you go around there and go through some places, some steps, you'll come to what's called the teaching steps. The teaching steps are the steps of the, what was the temple, where people would teach, because at the top of the wall there would have been the Sanhedrin, where the religious leaders gathered, and over to the, your right would have been the Mount of Olives. It would have been a place of great teaching, of prophets, teachers, others. And this is where Jesus addresses the religious leaders, and he unloads on them. Like, it's called the seven woes because he kept saying, woe to you. So I want to read to you the seven woes. And honestly, the teaching of this day is what sealed for the religious leaders Jesus' fate for the cross. So it's Matthew 23. It goes from verses 1 through 36. But I'm not going to read all of this. I'm just going to read through the different woes. But it starts out like this. This is 23, verse 1. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move it. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. They take their long phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They make their phylacteries broad, their fringes long." Those are the prayer robes and shawls they would wear. "They love to have the seat of honor in banquets and the best seats in the synagogue, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you're all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor you'd be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." So Jesus is basically saying here, these Pharisees, they do all of this religious stuff in public for you to see it and for you to honor them. They're not about serving. They're not about really following God's heart. They are about power and about you seeing. They do all these things. They love to be greeted. They love to look righteous. They love that it's the show. It's not a heart-based religion seeking to love God, but it's religion for show. It's religion for show. And that is the antithesis of what Jesus calls us to do. Jesus says, when you pray, go to your room, go to your closet and pray in secret. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Don't do your deeds of religion, your deeds of faithfulness for others to see, but do it because you're trying to love God and love your neighbor. The Pharisees did everything for show, and their hearts were far from God. So then we see the woes. It's verse 13, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you lock people out of the kingdom of heaven. For you do not go in yourselves. When others are going in, you stop them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." This is one of the most, "For you cross the sea and land to make a single convert, and you make the new convert twice as much a child of hell as yourself." Just because you're passionate about your religion doesn't mean you're following Jesus. "Woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the sanctuary is bound by nothing. But whoever swears by the sanctuary is bound by the oath. You blind fools, what's greater, the gold or the sanctuary that's made it sacred?" Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, but have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow the camel. It's about the heart, y'all. You tithe mint and dill and cumin, but you've neglected justice and mercy and faith. Man, Jesus is just saying, you are missing the point. You are looking religious, but you are missing the point of your faith. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You look good on the outside. Verse 27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you're like whitewashed tombs. On the outside you look beautiful, but inside they are full of bones of the dead and all kinds of filth. So are you on the outside who look righteous to others, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous, and you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. Thus you testify against yourselves that you are the descendant of those who murdered the prophets. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how can you escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore, I send you prophets, sages, and scribes who you will kill and crucify. Some you will flog. Truly, I tell you, this will come upon this generation. And then it ends with one of the most heartbreaking passages in the Bible, 37 through 39. Jerusalem is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, but you were not willing. See, your house has left you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. To me, that's heartbreaking because you see Jesus just saying, guys, you're missing the point. You're focused on the outward. You're like whitewashed tombs. You're like a clean outside, but inside you're filthy. You're putting these burdens on people that you can't move. You're not seeking after justice and mercy and faith. You've got it backwards. You've got it backwards. But then what I love about 37 is you see Jesus is not angry. He's angry. He goes off on him. I mean, he's righteously angry. He's righteously angry. Like when he cleanses the temple, his righteous indignation. Y'all, we should be angry when we see these things. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let it lead you to sin. But I want to be angry at the sin in my life. The places in my life where I'm a hypocrite. The places in my life where I'm worried more about what you think than what God thinks. The places in my life where I'm complacent or content with my sin. It should bother me. It should make me angry. But Jesus is doing this because he loves Jerusalem. He loves the prophets. He loves the Pharisees and the Sadducees because he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. He longs to gather you to himself today. He longs to be united with you. He longs to love you. He longs to forgive you. He longs to save you. He longs to restore you. He longs to give you his mercy and his grace. That's what he longs to do, y'all. He longs to love you. He does. He longs to let you know his love and his mercy. Jerusalem was not willing. I hear the anguish in his voice because you see the passion above. You see how much he says, come on, guys, you're missing the point. You're just missing it. You're so close, but you're missing it. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look great on the outside, but inside are full of death. You lock people out of heaven. You cross the sea to make a new convert. You make them twice a child of hell as yourself. You miss the point of the law, which is love. You miss the way your matters, justice and mercy and faith. He longs to restore and redeem and make whole. Jerusalem was not willing. The religious leaders were not willing. to turn from their sin and their unrighteousness that masked itself as righteousness. They were not willing to turn from it. If they would have turned, he would have received. Today, in this Holy Week, are we willing to turn from our unrighteousness that masks itself as righteousness? Are we willing to turn from our self-righteousness, from our indulgence, from our pride? And are we willing to be gathered together with Jesus, where life is found? Today, as we continue walking through Holy Week, may we ponder these things. May we meditate upon them. And may we make sure that we are seeking after the weightier things of our faith and the weightier things of following Jesus. Thanks for being with us today. I hope you're enjoying this time together during Holy Week. And I look forward to being with you tomorrow and hopefully worshiping with you in the coming days. Have a great day.